You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. Moving on, we're talking about Russell Stover. This is actually a candy maker and chocolate maker, and they announced about a week ago Friday that a recent data security breach at its stores potentially affected the information of customers' credit cards and debit cards. So the company determined that an unauthorized actor may have accessed their point of sale system through malware between February 9th and August 7th of this year and acquired, obviously, payment data, first and last names, payment card numbers, expiration dates, and all of that. And the store basically notified everybody and, you know, hired people to resolve it and all of that, according to my notes. But anyway, if you have used your credit card with Russell Stover's anything directly at their stores or online, you may be affected. Moving on, I wanted to do a couple of different categories because, you know, we are like 13 minutes in to this data breaches of the week and we are like nowhere near done. And I haven't even gotten to the interesting ones, but I want to do a quick rundown because I'm starting to realize that as we're doing data breaches, I'm starting to see just consistently a lot of different categories that get hit. And so the first category I'm going to talk about, and I'm eventually going to add a financial institution one because that seems to be every week, but the first one I'm going to talk about is governments because we have a lot of governments that are hit on a very regular basis. And we're going to start with Canada. Their Border Services Agency basically found out that their license plate, their third-party license plate collector, Perceptix, which happens to be the same one that the U.S. Customs and Border Protection uses, basically is possibly exposing license plate information out there. That have the same thing happened to the U.S. Customs as well. Now Canada is declaring that. Moving on, a phishing scheme basically in Oregon broke into the email accounts of five Judicial Department employees in the state of Oregon, exposing 6,000 people. Moving on, we're talking about Cabarrus County in North Carolina. They recently lost $1.7 million to a social engineering scam on that, and they actually were able to convince people to pay them over $2.5 million, but they recovered some, so they're out $1.7 million in taxpayer money. Moving on, we're going to be talking about Texas and actually the state of Georgia as well, which I believe I mentioned in my last radio show. But basically, the Texas seems to be under attack. The Department of Information Resources is leading a response into this attack that has affected at least 20 local government entities across Texas. And basically, they're not naming which entities were affected and impacted, but Texas is under hacker attack. Moving on, we're heading to Charleston County. Their employees' identifying information basically was out there because a human resources employee accidentally sent a list of information to a former county employee. So names, birth to date, social security numbers, gender, salary, hire date, you know, were they eligible for retiree health care, active and active employees, et cetera, were all exposed. If you work for Charleston County, heads up to you. Next, we're talking about the military, the U.S. military, specifically in South Korea. Many American troops may have been among the victims of hackers who stole information from more than 1 million U.S. and South Korea credit cards and then listed them for sale on the dark web. And so an unnamed credit union that provides services to the U.S. Air Force, you know, basically their bases in South Korea, was among those that were potentially compromised. So the U.S. military might have a credit card issue. Collier County, Florida. Hackers stole $184 million in a phishing scheme. They wire transferred it to a bank that was fraudulently representing a company calling themselves Quality Enterprises USA, Inc. And so basically, phishing scam, $184,000. Lake County, Indiana. Their computer system was hit with a cyber attack that shut it down, including email service and many internal applications throughout the county government, again in Indiana. So that's a serious problem. And finally, let's talk about New Zealand. The Ministry for Culture and Heritage revealed on Sunday, about 2 weeks ago or so, that 300 people had their personal documents compromised following a coding error on their website. These basically, these documents were for the 250th anniversary of basically the British meeting the natives and kind of founding what eventually would become modern day New Zealand. And so people that registered for that sailing tour, if you will, got compromised. Moving on, our next category is going to be healthcare because, man, healthcare is always under attack. The first one up is the Digital Dental Record and Percy Saab. Now, these are two Wisconsin-based companies that basically collaborate on a product called DDS Safe. This is a medical records retention and backup solution, and that got hit with ransomware, basically compromising the provider, but then those ransomware hackers eventually turned around and started hitting dental offices as a result of that. That is a hot mess, and so your dentist, or if you are a dentist, heads up to you if you're on them, but I know the Digital Dental Record and Percy Saab are working their tails off to try to unscrew that mess, and we'll see if they stay in business. Moving on, Providence Health. Personal information for as many as 122,000 customers of Providence Health. Their dental program in Oregon may have been compromised due to a security breach. Moving on, Grays Harbor Community Hospital and Harbor Medical Group in the state of Washington are notifying patients regarding a ransomware attack on July 15th, and that basically all your information, medical records, personal info, demographics, insurance, that was all hit. Moving on, Michigan Medicine. 5,500 Michigan Medicine patients may have had their health records exposed in a phishing scam. Three American pharmacies, Lynchburg Drugstore in Tennessee, Chesapeake Bay Pharmacy in Maryland, and Milton Medical Drug in Florida. Basically, they were sharing apparently a common database in Amazon that contained 1.8 million patient-related records. I'm wondering if they're owned by the same company that appears to have been from these American pharmacies. And so it had a whole bunch of information from there. So if you have anything to do with Lynchburg Drugstore, Chesapeake Bay Pharmacy, and Milton Medical and Drug, heads up to you. Moving on, Massachusetts General Hospital. About 9,900 patients who took part in research studies had their personal information stolen. And so this is obviously serious information. Names, birth dates, gender, races, ethnicities, et cetera, et cetera. And moving on, Rhode Island Ear, Nose, and Throat Physicians. 2,943 patients affected when they discovered a server containing medical records basically was out there and exposed of people between May 1st and June 12th. And so we'll see where that goes. Moving on, we're going to be talking about schools and institutions of learning because they're always under attack as well, unfortunately. The Rockville Center School District in Long Island paid almost $100,000 in ransom to restore their data after being hit. The Mineola, Syracuse, Watertown, and Lansing, New York, school districts also in New York with Rockville, basically got hit in the same manner. Regis University in Northwest Denver basically had to shut down their campus internet because they got hit, and we're not sure when they're going to go back online as of me recording this. So we'll see what goes on. Next up is Monroe College in New York City. They just got hit with ransom of $2 million or so, and we're not sure if they're going to pay that. New Kent County Public Schools, ransomware attack. You know, I couldn't find much more on that, but, on and on and on. Huntsville, Alabama. Basically, this is an interesting one. The Facebook post of Huntsville board member was grabbed the attention of many parents. Pam Hill, that's the board member, posted that the Alabama school system was hacked, but she wouldn't say who, what, when, where, or why. And now everybody wants to know. She's taken this down. That's a mess in Huntsville, but odds are we'll see news there. Arizona State University notified 4,000 students that their email addresses were accidentally revealed in a large data breach, which actually violated HIPAA, which is the healthcare data compliance. So we'll see where that goes. A Pearson update. This is Pearson. This is the publishing company that got a whole bunch of school children exposed due to multiple school districts using them. We've got school districts in Indiana, Illinois, North Dakota, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Missouri, Arizona, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Colorado, all now declaring breaches in the last couple of weeks. Moving on, let's talk about Hillary's email server, because yes, that is actually a thing. Hillary's email server, we can now confirm, thanks to a declassified intelligence report by the Senate, it was actually compromised. And what they had found was that somebody had written a script into the email server that basically said any email that was incoming or outgoing got a blind carbon copy to a Gmail account that was labeled Carter Heavy Industries. Carter Heavy Industries happens to be a Chinese company that is a known cutout for Chinese intelligence, but that does not prove that the Carter Heavy Industries @Gmail account is actually owned by the Chinese. I bet Google could probably figure that one out. So with that, we know that Hillary Clinton's email server was compromised. That is a big deal. I don't care where you are on the political spectrum. That is not good. Kaspersky. Let's move on now. Kaspersky, for almost 4 years, the antivirus products from Kaspersky basically were injecting a unique identifier into your computer, and they could basically completely track and identify where you were going. If you were using Chrome, Firefox, Edge, didn't matter. You were in incognito mode, it didn't matter. They had the ability to track it. That is above and beyond tracking cookies and absolutely terrifying, because God knows what they did or who they sold that information to. Nobody should be running Kaspersky at this point. So that's a huge, huge problem. So with that, let's talk about mid-year for a moment, because we're past mid-year, obviously halfway through 2019, but now we actually start to get the actual data from the first 6 months in terms of data breaches. And 2019 has seen more than 3,800 publicly disclosed data breaches, exposing 4.1 billion compromised records. And those are the ones that we know about. There are many companies going through data breaches, and we simply don't know. Now, of those 4.1 billion records, 3.2 billion of those records were in 8 breaches. That is insane. And as for the exposed data itself, basically, email was contained in 70% of the breaches, passwords were in 65% of them, and that is complete nuts. Human error, hands down, the worst offender on all of this. We fall for phishing scams all the time, but 43% of these breaches were as a result of incorrect disclosure, 20% were posting or faxing data to the wrong recipient, emailing information to the incorrect recipient or failing to use the blind carbon was 18%, and 5% of these attacks were caused by providing data in response to a phishing attack. That is crazy. Moving on, let's talk about Apple. I mentioned in news that Apple's iPhone had a very serious issue with flaws that potentially millions of iPhone users out there have been hit, so heads up to you. Moving on, the CEO of Twitter, the founder of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, had his Twitter account hacked. That's ridiculous. You think a tech CEO would have better defense, but no. A group calling themselves the Chuckle Squad, and they seem really awesome because they tweeted racial slurs, anti-Semitic messages, and at least one Holocaust denial from Dorsey's account before they were shut down and the account was locked out by Twitter staff. So, I don't know. Anyway, and finally, the very last news is President Trump. And I think this is absolutely fascinating and a little bit terrifying, because President Trump literally, I think, caused a data breach that affects national security. And here's what's going on. And again, this is not political, but listen to this. Trump has tweeted what experts say is almost certainly an image from a classified satellite or drone showing the aftermath of an accident in an Iranian space facility. Now, NPR broke the news of the launch failure on Thursday using images from commercial satellites that flew over Iran's Imam Khomeini Space Center. These images show smoke billowing from the pad. Iran has since acknowledged the accident occurred, and some of the highest resolution imagery out there commercially comes from a company called Maxar. They have a satellite called the Worldview 2, and that is a 46-centimeter resolution on that. So that is considered an excellent shot. But here's the thing. The image shown in President Trump's tweet, he tweeted about this, appears to be a far better quality. Now, this comes from Ankit Panda. He's a senior fellow at the Federation of American Scientists who specializes in satellite imagery. And I quote him, "The resolution is amazingly high. I would think it's probably well below 20 centimeters, which is much higher than anything I've ever seen." So basically, Panda's saying these tweet disclosures basically are showing that the public wasn't aware of just how good U.S. intelligence satellites were able to take pictures. And so that obviously is a major issue, because now we have just exposed a major technical advantage that we may possibly have over Iran or Russia or China or anything like that. And so that is a data breach of U.S. security. And that is all the data breaches of the week. And wow, there have been a ton. Were you affected? I bet you were, because I know I was. And it's just getting worse and worse out there. But next week or next show, we'll be back into our regular cycle. And so data breaches should hopefully be a lot less. But we just literally did our homework these last few weeks and got it all out. And so I hope you weren't affected. But again, those are your breaches of the week. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the deep dive segment, where we take a closer and deeper look at a cybersecurity, cyber warfare, or technology issue around us. And if you have any suggestions for a deep dive segment or something you'd like me to dive into, you can once again find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A. ESP. Again, that's Nick A. ESP. Or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. That's questions@securityfanatics.com. I am more than happy to take a look at it. And if it meets our standards, we are more than happy to do a deep dive on it. So let's begin. And this week's deep dive is basically on facial recognition and why I think it's probably going to get somebody arrested or killed. And maybe not justifiably. I think definitely not justifiably. And here's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to start with Amazon's recognition system. That is recognition with a K. This is something that Amazon has been pushing hard on everybody. And I actually talked about this, and we've known for a while that it's been controversial. So one of the things that we've had a serious problem with Amazon's recognition system is that it has a very high false positive rate. Meaning, when we are looking at this, and I actually did this in my last TED Talk when I was talking about this, when we are looking at predicting facial recognition, with accuracy, if we are looking at white males, it's 99% accurate, but that accuracy drops by 30% when we start looking at women and minorities, and that is massive. And we are going to get to why that is such a deep, deep problem for us to be using recognition live in production in real time to do things. I also mentioned, I thought hilariously in my talk, that the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, took recognition and then they put 535 members of the U.S. Congress into recognition, and they put it against a mugshot database of thousands or tens of thousands of criminals, but they didn't include any members of Congress in that database, and recognition incorrectly identified 28 members of Congress as criminals. And feel free to insert your own joke right there. So that is the thing. Now, here's the thing. We've known about that for a while. I did that TED Talk months ago, and a lot of that information came from 2018, which was the latest research available at the time when I gave that talk. And you think they would have fixed it in the past few months, but they really haven't. They really haven't. And the reason why is because literally within about, I would say the last week or two, I read an article basically doing another group put Amazon's recognition to the test again, and it misidentified 1 in 5 California state lawmakers. And so they took all the state lawmakers in California, put it into a database, compared it against the mugshot criminal database, and 1 in 5 lawmakers was basically considered a criminal. That's even higher than what the ACLU came up with, which is just insane. They clearly have not improved this technology in terms of identification, but they really that really hasn't stopped Amazon from selling the heck out of this to law enforcement and cities, even though the false positive rate is so insanely high. And so think about this for a second. Let's say you are in a city, an urban area, and we actually, had this in Oakland, in San Francisco. If you are running a facial recognition system and you have basically, a 1 in 3 chance of being misidentified, and you just happen to be walking down the street, where a robbery took place, you could be identified incorrectly by the police, who then think they have the right person because they are relying on their technology in Amazon's recognition that is falsely identifying you a good chunk of the time. That's kind of terrifying. And so when we're looking at this, they're starting to add more features to this that I think are going to get us into some serious, serious trouble. So one of the things that they are now adding to Amazon's facial recognition system is basically emotion detection. So recognition can now apparently identify different things. They've claimed to be able to identify right out of the gate happy, sad, angry, surprised, disgusted, and confused. And they just added a new emotion basically to this list, and that one is fear. Now, let's think this one through for a second. Imagine you're a police officer, and imagine you are basically, looking at a suspect, and you've got facial recognition technology that is saying you've got the right person. And this person is angry right now. And maybe they are a misidentified person And maybe they're correctly identified as angry for being misidentified, or maybe the recognition system has gotten the wrong person and is misreading angry for fearful or something else. You know, and so now we have a potential situation where the police officer may decide to use more lethal force than is really necessary when we've got an innocent person that has been misidentified and then emotionally identified as well. And now if we're looking at this, we can step this one step further. As we start integrating wearable technology into our lives, look at what we're doing with that. We are going to start developing, let's say, heads-up displays in combat helmets for the troops. And, you know, if they're going, let's say, you know, in urban combat, you know, kicking in doors, and this is supposed to instantly recognize facially, let's say, you know, terrorist suspect number one, and then identify an emotion. What if that's a misidentification? What if it's just, you know, some guy in his home and he's now getting shot because the military is not asking questions in the same way the police might, and then again, even the police might, you know, open fire as well. We have a real potential issue here, especially when things are just simply not working the way they should. And that really hasn't stopped Amazon from, you know, from selling this. And so where is the line here, you know, where we are when we are looking at this? Should police forces be adopting this technology? And I'm not saying they shouldn't adopt facial recognition technology, but when the failure rate is so high and the misidentification capabilities are so present, that becomes, I think, a serious liability for the police. I think we're going to see false identifications increase by virtue of this if we don't fix the facial recognition system. So what is Amazon's responsibility in this? Now, that, I think, is one of the questions that we have to answer. I don't necessarily know if we have to regulate it so much as, you know, we have to make sure that the systems we're putting in, that they are selling hard to law enforcement, are correct, as well as the military. But now we have to take this one step further, because we have different hacking technologies in place now that may actually make facial recognition that much more scary, and that is deep fake technology. Now, obviously, if I'm running in front of a camera, assuming the camera is unedited or unaltered, you're going to see me running through a camera. But imagine if you had the ability to go in and, let's say, edit that footage in some way, shape, or form, unbeknownst to law enforcement, unbeknownst to, you know, let's say the providers of the technology, and then run deepfake technology on that. Maybe you could change out my face for somebody else's, and now, for all intents and purposes, looking at these video cameras, it's not me running down the street. It might be my body, but it's somebody else's face, and now I can basically possibly get away with a crime. And the reason why, you know, this is important is a lot of people are thinking, well, this would be very difficult to do. You know, deepfake technology, how do I even get started with that? It's actually very easy now. We just had a brand new app released in China, literally on August 30th, Friday, August 30th, it came out. And over the weekend, it became the number one downloaded and used app in China. Now, this app is called Zao, or Z-A-O. And in seconds, it can literally put your face into another person or famous actor's body. And so the example that one of the people posted on Twitter of this was, they basically put Leonardo DiCaprio's face into their body, into their videos, into their pictures, and Zao, the app, took 8 seconds to accurately do it. And if you go look at these pictures, it looks like Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, it is rather amazing. And if you go see a deep fake video, or if you're interested in this, there is one done by of President Barack Obama by filmmaker Jordan Peele, where basically you see Barack Obama talking, and it looks like Obama, it sounds like Obama, and at the very end of it, you know, Jordan Peele puts his face, you know, side by side with Obama, just to show that he's been controlling Obama this entire time. You know, this is what we're seeing. I mean, and I've seen others where they put Arnold Schwarzenegger's face onto, like, you know, like a skinny person's body, like a comedian's body, like, and it looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so, as we are looking at combating this, as we are looking at fighting deep fakes, we may have potentially have a recognition system that is being so widely used that we are seeing an explosion in we're seeing an explosion in footage that is going to be captured, centrally stored, especially by an Amazon. They also own Ring Doorbell, for the record, and so they'll integrate this into Ring Doorbell because they're giving law enforcement now direct access into Ring Doorbell. I actually did a video on that, so the police can go into your Ring Doorbell, essentially without a warrant if they request it directly from Amazon and just pull up your footage. I've talked about Ring at length being just god-awful for security and privacy, and if you're paying for Ring Doorbell, understand there are probably thousands of employees, not hundreds, but thousands of employees on the Ring and Amazon side that simply know who you are, know your location, can turn on your doorbell, can look at your videos in the past because it's all being stored on their system. You know, literally, we've had whistleblowers and reports on this. It's absolutely crazy. But by virtue of that, who's to say that I couldn't go in and rob a bank in plain daylight, hack in with my, let's say, capabilities or my abilities to do that, and then insert somebody else's face. And so the recognition system now identifies somebody else and not me. I mean, that's what we're potentially coming up to. Hacking gets more sophisticated. Hacking gets more innovative. And by virtue of that, our defensive technologies and capabilities have to do the same thing. But we have a system that I literally just started out saying they haven't fixed. They haven't fixed the failure rates. And they are continuing to proliferate this onto law enforcement and government agencies as an effective tool for policing, as an effective tool for identification. This is probably going to get somebody shot or killed or arrested or false imprisoned and all of that. And imagine the disinformation campaign you could run in an election in 2020. Imagine having a deep fake video of, let's say, an opposing candidate to the current president where they're saying just the worst, horrible, awful things. And we know hackers like to do this stuff. And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show. And I think we covered a lot of really good stuff. And I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a really good time. And I hope you keep tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show here with Nick Espinoza. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, absolutely anything, once again, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. And you can always send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. Don't be shy. I love the feedback. We've been having a great time with the show. And as always, stay safe and stay online, everyone. Thanks for listening.